From NPR News in Washington, I'm Noor Rahm. South Korean television is reporting that residents of Yongpyeong Island are being told to go to shelters. North Korea had shelled the island earlier this week, killing at least four people, including two civilians. Today's warning to leave the island comes as the United States and South Korea began joint military exercises in the Yellow Sea. Police in Afghanistan say suicide bombers attacked a police training center in the eastern part of the country today, killing at least four policemen and wounding several others. NPR's Corey Flintoff says the bombers reportedly wore police uniforms.
Police say the attack took place in Paktia province. They say one suicide bomber detonated his explosives inside the training compound. Then a second bomber attacked while officials were trying to aid the injured. A spokesman for the Taliban said the attackers had trained at the center, and he said the number of police killed was far higher. The Taliban often exaggerates casualty figures. Violence has been on the rise in Afghanistan's eastern provinces, which border on Pakistan. In separate news, NATO announced that a member of the international forces was killed in eastern Afghanistan. The statement did not give the casualty's nationality or the specific location of the attack. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Kabul.
Iraqi security forces today arrested 12 suspected al-Qaeda militants, believed to be connected to an attack on a Catholic church earlier this month. 52 people were killed when Iraqi forces tried to free more than 100 people held hostage during Sunday Mass on November 1st. A Russian cargo plane crashed shortly after taking off in Karachi, Pakistan today. Officials say that all eight people on board the plane were killed. A Somali-born teenager is in custody in Portland, Oregon. He was arrested by the FBI last night after allegedly attempting to blow up a van during a Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland. NPR's John Burnett reports.
It was an FBI undercover agent who built the supposed van bomb for 19-year-old Mohammed Osman Mohammed, a naturalized U.S. citizen from Somalia living in Corvallis, Oregon. When Mohammed allegedly dialed his cell phone to detonate the bomb from a Portland train station, federal agents closed in on him. The van was parked near a public square where a crowd had gathered for an annual holiday tree lighting ceremony. An FBI senior agent said the threat was very real, though the public was never in danger. The FBI says Mohammed had been emailing a terrorist contact in Pakistan discussing violent jihad. According to a federal affidavit, the FBI undercover agent warned Mohammed several times that his plan would kill many people, including children. Mohammed reportedly said he wanted the holiday revelers to end up dead or wounded and that no one would expect a terrorist attack in Oregon. John Burnett, NPR News.
This is NPR News. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors has voted to bar fast food restaurants from offering kids' toys along with certain high-fat, high-salt meals. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports the supervisors overrode a veto by Mayor Gavin Newsom.
The new law affects fast food kids' meals that contain more than 640 milligrams of sodium, 600 calories, or 35% of their calories from fat. Fast food companies such as McDonald's vigorously opposed the measure, as did Mayor Newsom, who said parents should regulate what their children eat, not the government. But the supervisors voted 8-3 to override Newsom's veto. The law doesn't go into effect until December 2011. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, San Francisco.
Egypt holds parliamentary elections tomorrow. The ruling National Democratic Party is expected to prevail. Its largest and most organized rival is the Muslim Brotherhood. Although that party has been banned, members ran as independents in 2005 and won a fifth of the seats. Election observers say the opposition candidates are being harassed. The Egyptian government maintains the vote will be free and fair. It's refused a U.S. call for international monitors, calling that an unwelcome interference. A recent poll finds only 34% of people in Peru approve the job their president is doing, while 62% disapprove. But President Alan Garcia appears to be taking this in stride. He told radio station Rio Programas that an inbred national melancholy is to blame, that Peruvians are naturally sad and distrustful. He said, on the other hand, Brazilians are naturally joyful and sunny. I'm Noor Rahm, NPR News in Washington.